This life is definitely fleeting. I stepped out of the shower this morning, and my wife Marilyn asked me if I knew of a guy named Jose Fernandez. And I said, sure. He's a star pitcher for the Miami Marlins. And I said he was supposed to pitch today, but they moved him back a day to pitch against the Mets tomorrow. She said, he's not going to pitch. I said, why? What happened? Well, she was watching Fox News, as we often do. And she said he was killed this morning. How fleeting this life is. He and two other people that they know of were in a boat that crashed into the rocks off of Miami. And the call came in around 3 o'clock this morning. A lot of things raced through your mind. You know, what was he doing out at 3 o'clock in the morning? What was going on? Biggest one that flashed through my mind was, oh Lord Jesus, I just hope that he knew you and put you first in his life. He often, like many ballplayers, points to the sky when things happen, sometimes trying to decide whether is he pointing to the sky and giving the glory to Jesus, or is he saying, I'm number one? I don't know. It's too late now for him, but we pray for his family. Life is fleeting. In basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia, a soldier received one of those gift packages from home, and it contained cookies. After roll call, the drill sergeant gave this trainee a choice of throwing the cookies out or eating them while doing one-handed push-ups. To everyone's surprise, he chose the push-ups. As the crowd watched in amazement, the soldier looked up and said through a mouthful of cookies, "This is a breeze compared to what my mother would do if she heard I threw out her cookies." Punishment is an extremely difficult topic to talk about, to listen to, and I've got to tell you, it's very, very hard to preach about. There's no joy in the subject of hell, and that's what today's Holy Gospel is about. Hell is not on the top 10 list of favorite topics for most people. I don't think I've ever seen it talked about on the old David Letterman show with his top 10 list. I don't think hell ever hit that. But we see today in the gospel, hell is a real physical place, and anyone who refuses God's love will end up there. In the Bible, this is very, very interesting. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. The Bible shows us that there is consciousness in hell. There's awareness of surroundings and those around you. The Bible teaches that a person's life does not end at death, but continues on forever, either in heaven, in the glory of God, or in hell, separated from God. Hell is a place of eternal torment, reserved for the wicked and ungodly. You just need to look at verse 24 of today's Holy Gospel and the rich man's agony in the flames, crying out to Father Abraham to have Lazarus dip his finger in water to cool his tongue. Jesus taught that there was a real place of eternal punishment for those who are condemned before God. I'm going to ask you to open your red pew Bibles. I haven't done this in a while, and I got out of habit, and I promise before God and before you that we're going to use this more often. Page 1506 to Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to punishment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now, you might be wondering, what does Raka mean? Well, it's a term that was used to show disapproval and most likely meant empty-headed. It wasn't certainly a compliment in any way, shape, or form. Now, if you'll continue on page 1506 to Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. 29 is down at the bottom right-hand column. Jesus taught that if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And you don't need to turn to this one, but Matthew 23, 33, Jesus warns, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how can you escape being sentenced to hell?" The Gospel of Mark, Jesus tells us again and again of the importance of avoiding hell and its damnation. This isn't fun to talk about. It's not fun to listen to, but we need to be aware of it. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus warns the cities in Galilee that they need to repent. He said, "Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades." He was talking about his adopted hometown. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 5, Jesus gives us a further clarification, saying, "But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Jesus implicitly reminds us that just as hell is real, so is Satan. And it's not what today's culture has reasoned it out to be, a sort of penalty box or a corner to sit in until you're finished with your time out. That is not what eternal damnation is. No matter how any movie or book can jokingly dramatize Satan or hell, the fact remains that it's a place that no Christian ever wants to be. Separated from Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life forever. Since Jesus is not present in hell, hence the title of today's sermon. If Jesus is not in hell, then there is no way in hell. There's no way to rest in hell, and there's no way out of hell. There's a very famous Christian band. Some of you may have heard of them. They're the Newsboys, and they've been around for quite some time. They make this case so unmistakably true in their song, Breakfast. Stay with me on this. This is the verse from Breakfast. "When the toast is burned and all the milk has turned and Captain Crunch is waving farewell, when the big one finds you, may this song remind you that they don't serve breakfast in hell." It's kind of stunning. So let's get down to brass tacks. Hell is no walk in the park. It's no cakewalk. It's no wild eternal party that's just waiting to happen. You know what? It's called hell for a reason. Non-Christians often ask this question of Christians: how can the God of love allow any of his creatures to suffer unending misery? My brothers and sisters, the real question should be, how can God not? The fact that God is love makes hell necessary. Anglican theologian E.L. Mascow once said, "Hell is not compatible with God's love. It is a direct consequence of it." The very God who loves us is the one who respects our choices and decisions, giving us the space to seek him or to make a total mess of things. You've heard me say this many times here at St. Andrew's: God loves us, but he does not and never will force his love or force himself upon us or anyone. To force love is to commit assault, plain and simple. God loves us to decide and to choose. That's how much he loves us. He allows us to decide and to choose. He loves us, he encourages us, and he waits for our response. He pursues us, he urges us, but he does not force us. Because you know what? He respects us. Hell is the terrifying reality of never-ending punishment, the place of an everlasting, continuous, unquenchable fire. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. Hell is the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25, 41. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13, verse 42 and 50. I think it would be safe to assume that there's no song in hell. Jesus wanted to impress this upon us, an indelible mark on our hearts and minds. And so he repeated this twice. Matthew 13, verses 41 and 42. Please turn to page 1522 of your pew Bible. 1522, it's just to the right of where we just were. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Just go over to page 1523. You don't have to turn anything. And we're going to look at Matthew 13, 49 and 50. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of outer darkness. Matthew chapter 22, verse 13. There's no light. What a difference from heaven, where the Lamb of God is the light. No need of the sun or moon. Hell is a place of separation from God, from our loved ones, and from the kingdom of heaven. Luke 16, 23. You see, as I told you, how Jesus often spoke about hell, he was doing so to give us a warning. Hell is a place of longing and remembrance. In Luke 16, 25, from today's Holy Gospel, Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here, and you are in agony." There is a separation from the good. In Luke 16, 26, "Between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." If we think that sin is just a separation from God, I do believe that this eternal chasm is far greater and wider than any of us can imagine. All one stranded on the other side of it could possibly be left with, but that person willingly forced God away through unrepented sin. Not only is there no hope in hell, but prayer is not answered in hell. You've already refused God, and so he doesn't hear the prayers of agony. If this is frightening, I apologize, but this is something that needs to be addressed, that we all need to be aware of. If there are things in our lives that we need to let go of, if there are things or people in our lives that we have not forgiven, remember the words of the Lord's Prayer: "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." If we want God's forgiveness, we have to give God's forgiveness. Search your soul. Let go of this. Take that weight off of your shoulders. Jesus wants it. Give it to him. In this gospel message, the rich man prayed, beginning with verse 27, for Lazarus to be sent to his family to warn them. But Abraham warned him that they had Moses and the prophets. How much more today that people have not only Moses and the prophets, but we have Jesus to listen to or deny. They've been given a fair warning of the word of God, the writings of Moses and the prophets. So this man's prayers were not answered and never would be. It was too late. He pleaded for someone to come back from the dead to warn him, but he was told that if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, that they won't be convinced when someone rises from the dead. Did you hear that? I don't know if you, while I was reading the gospel before, if you thought about that. If they won't listen to someone who rises from the dead, you know anybody who rose from the dead who's trying to tell us something? Who is being rejected and denied day after day, hour after hour? People's hearts were hardened to the word of God. Maybe we should make that people's hearts are still hardened to the word of God, and even someone rising from the dead won't open their hearts and minds. We see that in today's culture, and not just in the first century. We're surrounded by those who make their own truth by carefully crafting God's truth and even his Messiah, making it a different Jesus than we know. The Messiah rose from the dead, and they're turning into someone who matches their search for their truth. We live in a pluralistic society. I have my truth, and you have your truth, and why can't we all just get along? The Bible tells us that if we ignore the Word of God, and ignore and don't know God's Messiah, Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, then we will join the likes of the rich man in eternal seclusion. I've heard people rationalize this, that, oh, hell won't be so bad because my friends will be there. Well, that may be true for them. But hell is no party. So much so the rich man found that he didn't want his loved ones there. The fact remains that Jesus told us that hell is for all eternity. Well, now that I've given you the bad news, let's talk about some good news. In order to find out the outcome, we need to go back to the Bible. And I'm going to ask you to turn to page 1936, the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they'd done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. You don't have to go to hell. God has made a way of escape. Our loving God has given each one of us our own personal fire insurance. Think about that. Not one person here today will have to spend even a heartbeat in hell because of one thing, one person, Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the cross to take our punishment, to pay the price for our sins, which would have been an eternity in hell. And it cost him everything. The one who will not force himself on mankind is waiting for you to receive him today as Lord of your life. If you don't know him or have never fully accepted him as God's only son, then I urge you today to receive Jesus. I urge you, if you have family or friends that do not know Jesus Christ, tell them about him. Introduce them to him. Today's the day, and now is the hour that you can with all certainty be assured of never seeing hell. But instead, through repentance and forgiveness of all your sins, you can be assured that you will spend eternity in the presence, in the love, and in the light of Almighty God. He invites you right now to ask him into your life, to be your Savior, to be your Lord. Jesus lovingly says, and was recorded by John in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. My brothers and sisters, there is a way to heaven. His name is Jesus. And there is no way in hell. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.